Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And this week we are mindful of all that your Son did on our behalf, that he laid down his life for us, that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could be a part of your family, that we could be born again, your sons and daughters, that we could call you Abba, Father. And we are so thankful that you have sent your Spirit to us to be with us, to guide us, to lead and direct us into all truth and understanding. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that this week in the noon sessions and the evening services that we will all hear the word we need to hear, and that we will all receive the answers we need to receive so that we would all walk in your blessings and all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in previous years, and you understand that whether in the noon sessions, the evening services, Pastor and I cannot cover everything every year. In previous years, in the day sessions, we have learned what prayer is, how to pray, the various types of prayer, the rules that govern those types of prayer. And we have learned how to pray more effectively and how to get better results when we pray. Now, if you are new to the things of God, or you're wanting to get results, I would encourage you in the cafe to get two things, and that is Pastor's Confession Booklet, which has been updated for 2024, and we have that in both English and Spanish, and then also Pastor's Book of Prayer, which has Scripture personalized. And if you look through these, you'll say, well, it's a lot of Scripture personalized. Well, that's what has power, us saying and confessing and praying the Word of God. And both of those will help you get started in your prayer life and praying and confessing God's Word over your life, your family, your health, and your finances. Now, last year during these day sessions, we learned about prayer and the life and ministry of Jesus. We also learned about what Jesus taught about prayer. We dealt with prayer in the early church and prayer in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. My goal this year is to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and what he would have us deal with this week. There are those that are in need among us. As Pastor mentioned, you may not be fighting a fight of faith, but that doesn't mean that there's not someone sitting next to you that's not fighting the fight of faith. And Pastor pointed out last night that living in this world, as long as the Lord tarries, we live in a world in which Satan is the god of this world. He steals, kills, and destroys. He is at work. He is at work through people around us. And inevitably, we have to learn how to pray and to get our prayers answered and how to fight the good fight of faith. And so there are those in need among us. There are those that are among us and they're believing God for a miracle or for supernatural healing. They are facing a tremendous fight of faith. There are those among us that need a miracle in their home or family. They're facing a situation where unless a spouse or a child or young adult comes under great conviction and they repent and they change, they turn from sin and wickedness, a husband or a wife or a child could be eternally lost. And so as we begin, I want to challenge you this week to be mindful not just of what's going on in your life and your own needs, but mindful of others and mindful of praying for others. Yes, we should want to seek and desire, Lord, how can I get my answer? But our heart's desire ought to be that those among us, people we see at church, the people that we sit next to, maybe someone we don't even know, but we've heard about a challenge or situation in their life that a miracle would take place, that they would get their answer. So let's begin looking at one example of how the early church prayed and how they prayed for one another and how they prayed that God would move in them and through them and in their midst. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats. And they were referring to the threats of the wicked, the religious wicked. Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So after Peter and John had been arrested and then released, this is what they prayed for. Number one, that they would be enabled to speak the word of God with great boldness. Second, that God would stretch forth his hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. So as we begin this Holy Week, as we begin these day sessions, I want to challenge you to pray that the Lord would enable Pastor and I and all of us, you know, Pastor has challenged all of us to tell at least one person about the Lord every month, to pray for at least one person in person every month, that the Lord would enable not just Pastor and I, but all of us to speak the Word of God with boldness. And second, that God would stretch forth his hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders in our midst. And praise God, we're learning about how faith works and how prayer works, and Pastor's dealing with seven steps to answered prayer. But when the Lord stretches forth his hand and performs mighty signs and wonders in our midst, there are things that can happen, and it's a whole lot easier if the Holy Spirit moves. It's a whole lot easier if the gift of special faith and the gifts of healing are in manifestation. And so it ought to be our heart's desire to see that and for those things to happen for the good of the congregation and the good of those in our midst. And maybe the good of a mom or dad, and they don't even come to church, but they're facing a great need or a great fight of faith, and that's what the need is. They're believing God for a miracle. And there are those in our midst, and they're not just in need of a physical healing. There are marriages and homes and families, and they are in need of healing. So yes, when we pray regarding our lives and our needs, circumstances we face, and that is certainly fine. But when we pray, we are also to pray for others. Look at James chapter 5, James 5 and verse 16. I'm going to read a portion of this out of the New King James. James writes, pray for one another. Pray for one another. And the reality is, if in your prayer time, it's just you, your life, your needs, and you never pray for your church, you never pray for your pastor, you never pray for anyone else, then you're not doing prayer the Bible way, and you're not doing prayer the New Testament way, and you're certainly not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit of God in prayer. We are to pray for one another. The King James says, pray one for another. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is what I want all of us to commit to doing, not just this week, but going forward, to pray for one another. To pray one for another. And I believe that if you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to God, God will move upon your heart and he'll bring to your remembrance, you'll picture, you'll envision, but somehow, some way, by his still small voice or by thinking of this or thinking of that person or thinking of that situation, today, right now, it could be right now, but today, as you're leaving, as you're going to lunch, as you're going back to work, the Lord is going to put situations on your heart. The Lord is going to put particular people on your heart to pray for and to intercede on their behalf. And so I want us to commit, not just this week, but going forward, to pray one for another. And so I believe that if you will be sensitive and you will make yourself available, and you will open up your heart, the Lord will put people and he will put situations on their heart to pray for them, to intercede on their behalf. And don't just make a mental note, yeah, I'll do that. Write their names down. Make a list. And you might do it the old-fashioned way with a piece of paper and a pencil or pen, or we got all this technology, you know, on your phone, make a note and keep a list. You know, I don't have a photographic memory, and I do my best to remember as much as I can, but inevitably, greeting after church on Sundays and Wednesdays, people will tell us about this or that. They'll ask us to pray for this or that, and I do my best to be diligent to, when someone tells me about a need or prayer request, to ask an usher behind us for my phone so I can open up a note or send an email to myself, and I can write their name down. I can make a note of whatever it is they're believing God for. And then what I do, since I keep Pastor's Confession booklet in my Bible, I keep in here several things related to personalized scriptures, things that we're believing God for, faith goals. But one of the things that I keep in this confession booklet are prayer requests that we've received, things that people have emailed us through the website, or someone's told me about something or asked me to pray about something. And so I went home and opened up that email or opened up that note on my phone and then typed something out, their name, what they're believing God for, and I keep it in my Bible. And you might say, well, Austin, when do you take it out? Well, when I know they've got their answer, or when I feel a release from the Holy Spirit to no longer pray about their situation, whatever it may be. And so again, the Lord's going to move in all of our lives in different ways. He's going to move on our hearts to pray for different people. And so we're the body of Christ. We're to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're a team, and we're to work together. Amen. You know, Pastor and I do our best to pray about everything we ought to pray about and every situation we ought to pray for. But the reality is, the congregation this side, we can't pray for everybody every day. And that's why we're to pull the load together. Amen. And as we'll get to and as we'll see today, the Holy Spirit helps us in that. And so what I'm challenging you is to do your part. And if we all do our part, we're going to get some awesome things done. We're going to make a lot of progress. We're going to accomplish things for the kingdom of God. So ask the Lord, you know, and you ask the Lord, Lord, who would you have me pray for? Who would you have me intercede for? What situations are going on that you would have me pray about? And we'll get to the mouth here in a minute. Not talk about the situation, not talk about the person, not gossip about it, which is a sin, but pray for them. Pray for them, pray for their family. You know, there are people that they've got their healing, but even still at prayer or during the week when I think of them or think of what they have faced, I just say, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that they have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their every destruction. I thank you, Father, that you have taken sickness and disease away from their midst. I thank you, Father, that trouble will not come a second time. Because that's part of that fight of faith and maintaining our healing and maintaining our victory. Because Satan's mean and Satan is evil. And somebody can win the fight, but sometimes he likes to show up for round two and round three. So we're to stand in the gap for one another. We are the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus. On Wednesday, February 28th, during the Wednesday evening service, Pastor mentioned that he and Pastor Sue were going to be doing a three-day fast. When I heard him say that, I immediately set aside a day for fasting and prayer, asking the Lord what he would have me do, but also praying and interceding for our pastors and standing in agreement with them on their behalf. And so I committed to do that, and then I made a list of what simple things, what I know that they're believing God for, something regarding our children, something regarding the church, and then a fourth thing. And inside of 7 days, one of the things on that list was done, taken care of, no big deal at all. An outstanding miracle, which I'm greatly encouraged by, because my attitude with the Lord is, well, if that was so big and it's done, I consider the other stuff done. that it's done. And it's coming into manifestation. We're to stand with one another. We're to pray for one another. We are to stand in the gap for one another. Pray for one another. Pray one for another. So we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we are to lift up one another in prayer. And the Holy Spirit will help us do that. Our mouths were meant for good, not evil. And don't have time to teach per se on confession or the authority of the believer, but because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf, our words have great authority. Our words have great dominion. And when we say what the Word of God says, that has great power and authority in the name of Jesus. And so our mouths were meant for good, not evil. And when we stand on God's Word and pray one for another, we use our mouths for good, not for evil. We use our mouths for good and not harm. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I'll mention James here in a minute. Go ahead and mention it now. James 3, verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. See, what we want to do is use the tongue to tear down and use the tongue to slander and use the tongue for evil. But then when we have a need in our life, we want to use the tongue and our Heavenly Father hear us and answer us. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. And it hinders answered prayer. And it hinders Him moving and operating in our lives the way He wants and desires to. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as we'll see, He is the one that is here with us. And He is the one that leads and guides and directs us. And we can, as Paul writes, verse 30, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. What's slander? Speaking something of someone that's not true. Seeking to do harm to someone or to harm their reputation. Brawling and slander along with every form of malice. What's malice? Wanting to do someone harm, which often involves the tongue. And Paul is not writing to unbelievers, he's writing to believers. See, these are things that if we're not careful, we can get going on in our lives and that they grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Be kind, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So when I mention, Lord, who would you have me pray for? What situations would you have me pray about? You might think, well, I'm not praying for them. I don't like them. Or, you know, the Lord's forgotten the look they gave me. Or the Lord's forgotten what they said to me. Or the Lord's forgotten that I invited them to something and they didn't invite me to something or whatever it is. You got to set all of that aside. See, we are to pray and we are to make ourselves available to pray, and we are not just to pray regarding our own needs and our own lives, but we are to make ourselves available to pray on the behalf of others, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to intercede one for another. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And notice, as we've dealt with previous years, that forgiveness is important, and it has everything to do with answered prayer. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God by misusing our mouths. James says it this way in James 3:10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. So our mouths were meant for good. And when we stand on God's word and pray for one another, instead of using our mouth negatively, we use our mouth positively. We tear down strongholds. We fight the good fight of faith on behalf of brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are to lift up one another in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will help us do that. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counselor, our helper, and our guide. He is the person of the Trinity who is here with us in this world. And yes, we can offend Him. We can grieve Him. We can behave and talk and conduct ourselves in such a way that He withdraws His presence from us. And so we have to be led by Him. We have to cooperate with Him. We have to be sensitive to Him. And as we'll get to today, we have to be sensitive to removing from our lives anything that's a hindrance. And as Pastor dealt with yesterday, well, we get into religious cliches to make ourselves feel better. Well, this hasn't changed, this hasn't happened because it's God or because it's the devil or because it's this or that. It couldn't be me. It couldn't have anything to do with me or with my mouth or with my negativity or with things in my life that are displeasing to God. It must be God or it must be the devil or it must be my third grade teacher. I always use that as an example. I had a wonderful third grade teacher, Mrs. Wood. But it's got to be someone else. It couldn't possibly be me. In John 14, Jesus said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would be our counselor, that he would be with us and live in us. You know, I was so heartbroken to sit at one of our children's baseball games this weekend, and I was, you know, people talk loudly, so I wasn't listening in. Their conversation was so loud, it was just confronting my ears. But a mom rehearsing to another mom about how her kindergartner, first grader needs therapy. You know who my counselor is? The Holy Spirit. You know, people go to Christian counselors and get ungodly advice, or advice that is contradictory to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is my counselor. Who do I need to pray for? What do I need to change? What do I need to do differently? What is maybe not displeasing to God, but as Paul would say, it's permissible, but it's not beneficial. What in my life is a hindrance to what God wants to do? And I don't get those answers on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram or from a secular counselor. I get those answers from my helper, my comforter, my counselor, who is the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 14, 17 that he would be with us and live in us. Jesus said in John 14, 26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You know, one of the key verses in the series Pastor is doing is John 15, 7. We'll see the Holy Spirit helps us in that, to abide in him, and the words of Jesus to abide in us. John 16, beginning in verse 7, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is for your good I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. See, if we walk with him, if we live by him, if we're led by him, if we pray led by him, he's going to lead us into the blessings of God. He's going to lead us into the goodness of God. He's going to lead us into God's perfect will for our lives. But see, we have to cooperate. He is our comforter, our counselor, our helper, and our guide. And he is the one that is here with us. He teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the words of Jesus. He convicts. I know sometimes in our full gospel world, it's easy for us to head down the road of works that, as Pastor mentioned, that if I could just pray enough hours, if I could just fast enough days, I'm going to twist the arm of God and I'm going to get God to do something, that we can forget that it's by grace, by faith. But even in emphasizing and overemphasizing grace, people can get into another ditch. I've heard famous people say that even though Jesus said the Holy Spirit would convict, they say the Holy Spirit doesn't convict. If you believe that, you're in trouble. If you believe that, your conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. You are in trouble. One of his roles in our lives is that he convicts. If you study church history, every major revival in church history. A key part of that revival was conviction and people coming under great conviction and public repentance of sin. And so historically, when the church, the people, the body of Christ have gathered to pray and God has moved, conviction has been, and public repentance have been key components of that. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts. He guides us into all truth. He makes known to us everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. And if you will cooperate, if you will be led, be leadable, if you will listen, the Holy Spirit will help you when you pray. The Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you when you pray. Romans 8 verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Somebody might say, well, I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about all that Spirit stuff. Well, the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's an ongoing, living, daily relationship. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. And He wants to lead us to green pastures and still waters, and that is certainly true in our prayer lives. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit when we pray. Kenneth Hagin Sr. wrote that many believers have lost the true spirit of prayer by becoming legalistic and clinical in their praying. He wrote, it is more important to recognize and learn to flow with the Holy Spirit in prayer than to merely know correct prayer terminology. We're to be led by the Spirit of God in prayer. Romans 8 and verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26, Paul writes, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, there's so much wrong in American culture. Don't want to get sidetracked with that. Paul wrote, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. As much as I've read, as much as I've studied, as much as I've learned, as many church services I've sat in, I don't know everything. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. As much as I strive to live a life pleasing to God, I am not perfect. The Holy Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. I think we could also say that there are times we don't know who to pray for. You've heard pastors say that there are times you face a situation at work, and yes, we can say it's the devil, but who does the devil work through? People. You know, there's a problem coming from human resources, but you don't know who the devil is in human resources. The Holy Spirit of God does. We don't know what we ought to pray for. We don't know who we ought to pray for. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Intercession is when we pray on the behalf of someone else, another believer, our church, our pastor, our nation, our leaders. And this ought to encourage us, that the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You know, the internet's a funny thing, and you know, I think some of it maybe is people looking for donations or this or that, but some of it is genuine. I get messages on Facebook Messenger and Instagram, and pastors from random places all over the world just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. I think that's awesome. And there's one guy, I probably get a message every other day. I want you to know I'm praying for you. You know, I hope it's honest and sincere, but I receive it in Jesus' name. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you and me. And how does He do that? He does that through other believers. How does the Holy Spirit intercede for the saints or the body of Christ? He does that through others on our behalf. And He does that through you and me. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So as we've learned, you have to pray. You have to set aside the time for prayer. And I know when I was a young person growing up, I'd read books and I'd hear ministers and hear about, you know, hours and all that. You just have to get started, whether it's 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day, and then be faithful and consistent in that, and then grow with God from there. You know, I'm not going to put the young people under guilt and condemnation on this or on that. You just have to set aside time, carve out the time, then be faithful and consistent. But we should all have a daily time set aside for prayer. We should make ourselves available to pray. But beyond that, throughout the day, we should also be available to pray as needed and as led by the Holy Spirit. And when we go on vacation with family and we're in a certain part of the country, in that part of the country, a lot of the fire departments are voluntary fire departments. They're not full-time. They are men that have made themselves available if they get a call. Well, see, we're not just to have a daily time set aside for prayer. We are to have the kind of heart where the Lord knows we're available and we're willing. And if we hear about something or the Holy Spirit of God moves upon our heart, we're available and we're willing to pray. We're available and we're willing to pause what we're doing and spend time in prayer. And spend time in prayer praying for someone else on their behalf. And this is important because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And He does that through believers. He does that through you and me. So yes, we should have a daily time set aside for prayer, but throughout the day, we should also be available to pray as led by the Holy Spirit. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Paul had this in mind when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and what he wrote was inspired by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 6, 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, some pastoral tea sometimes, well, how long do I have to do this confession thing? And how long do I have to live right? Until you go to be with the Lord. You know, you read Revelation, the seven letters. Those who stand firm to the end will be saved. Those who persevere, those who overcome. This is the life we are to live. To pray, to always pray, to pray all kinds of prayers, and to keep on keeping on, to keep on praying. To never weary in what is right. To never weary in doing the things of God. And you might say, well, Austin, I'm tired and I'm a little frustrated and this and that. And I feel, and you should know at Faith Christian Center, we don't walk by how we feel. We walk by faith. But I understand that. And so praise God, as Paul writes in Romans, the Holy Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. And you might say, Austin, you know, I'm perfect and I'm perfect in everything. Well, you've given no room in your life for the Holy Spirit to work. Because your attitude is that you're perfect and you're God. And you have no need of God. The Holy Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. And that's how in Christ Jesus we can say that when we're weak, we are strong. Because we're not alone. We're not on our own. We have help. We have a helper. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, when someone is saved, when they repent of their sins, when they make Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of their life, the Bible tells us that we are born of the Spirit. We are sealed with the Spirit. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are saved. We have a peace. We have a knowing. We have an understanding. Yet if we're honest when we read the Bible, if we're honest when we read the New Testament, we see that there is something more and beyond that, which is being filled with the Spirit of God. Paul wrote that we're to be filled with the Spirit. So when we pray, we can pray in our understanding, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, in English or in Spanish or a vernacular language, or we can pray in the Spirit. But I believe that regardless of how we pray, whether in English or Spanish or in the Spirit, in tongues, when we pray, we're to be led by the Spirit of God in prayer. We're not just to be talking. We are to be listening. And we're to have a sensitive heart before Him so that He can do the work in our lives that Jesus spoke about. You watch pastor minister and he'll get away from his notes and this verse and that verse. Well, who's directing that? Who's orchestrating that? Like a conductor conducting an orchestra. It is the Holy Spirit bringing things to His remembrance for our good, for our benefit, for our help. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. And so we could say this way and pray as led by the Spirit of God. Pray, cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and pray as led by the Holy Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And how does the Holy Spirit intercede for the saints? He does that through us, through you and me. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 18, that we are to always keep on praying for all the saints. So first, we must make ourselves available to pray. And then we should be available throughout the day to pray as led by the Holy Spirit of God. And there are times that if you'll head down this road, you might get woken up in the middle of the night, but with a burden to pray for someone. He is using you. He is working through you. And pray as led by the Holy Spirit. And pray, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about kneeling. Pastor and I walk and pray. I learned that from my father, and I enjoy that, to walk and to pray. But whether you're walking and praying or kneeling and praying, whatever you're doing, you're not just doing that alone. You have the Holy Spirit of God, and He is there beside you. And so when you walk and pray, He is with you, walking and praying with you. When you may be in your bedroom or in your closet or in your office, someplace in your home, when there's a need or a problem in your life or the life of a loved one or someone you know and you kneel and pray, you are not just kneeling and praying by yourself. The Holy Spirit is there and He is there with you. And you might say, well, I went to the Holy Week Revival and I heard all this, but I don't know exactly what to pray. Well, if you live a life where you spend time abiding in Him and His Word abiding in you, if you ask the Holy Spirit, what do I pray? Then He will bring verses to your remembrance. And he might even move upon your heart to open a certain book of the Bible or to go to a certain chapter. It's amazing what He will do if we will get quiet enough to listen and to be led. And pastors mentioned fasting, and of course people can get into the ditch on that. But one of the things that fasting does, whether it's a day or 2 days or 3 days, is it puts the flesh under and makes us more sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that's one benefit. And pray as led by the Spirit of God on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And that might seem overwhelming. That might seem like a huge task or objective. But praise God, we have a helper. In John 14, 26, Jesus called the Holy Spirit our helper. He is our comforter and our counselor. So yes, we study to show ourselves approved, and we seek to learn all that we can about prayer. And we seek to do it the Bible way and to get good results. But then there comes a time when we must pray, and we must pray for one another. So who helps us? Who helps us with who or what to pray for? Who helps us with how to pray? The Holy Spirit of God. He is our helper. Romans 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Who do I pray for? What do I pray? What kinds of prayers and requests? If you ask the Holy Spirit, He will help you. He will put people and families and needs and situations upon your heart. He will give you verses and remind you of what the Word of God says. Jesus said in John 14, 26, that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things, and He would remind us of everything Jesus has said to us. The older I become, and the more I learn, the more I realize that I must be completely and solely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter, our counselor, our helper. He is our help and He is our friend, and He is to be the senior partner of our lives. And if you will cooperate, He will pray alongside of you. And if you cooperate, He will pray through you. In the same way He helps us in our weakness, we do not know what or who we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. Now, we are to be led by the Holy Spirit when we pray, but there can be hindrances to that. And my heart's desire is that there would be no hindrances to our prayers and to our praying. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." As we saw in Ephesians 4, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we misuse our mouths. And the New Testament has a lot to say about the mouth and what we speak. Another way we grieve the Holy Spirit is with unforgiveness, which we know is a hindrance to our prayers being answered. Jesus said in Mark 11, 25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything," why don't we say this, say anything, "against anyone," say anyone. You know, when we play these mental gymnastics, well, I've forgiven these 25 people, so I'm off the hook. Now, I'm not going to forgive these other five people over here. Those are exceptional situations. It's a hindrance. Got to forgive. Got to put it in the hands of God. And when you pray, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. So as we begin this week, and as we set aside this week to learn more about prayer and to see needs met, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of others, let us deal with every hindrance to answer prayer. If there is unconfessed sin, let's deal with it. If there are hindrances in our lives like evil words or unforgiveness or malice or slander, let's deal with it. If the Lord has led us to obey in some way, but we have resisted or procrastinated or delayed, humble yourself before God. Ask His forgiveness. Obeyed God. If we have mistreated other believers like they had done in the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, let's deal with it. They had mistreated each other, and in so doing, they had abused the Lord's table. And Paul said to them in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, "A man ought to examine himself." They had mistreated each other, and they were receiving from the Lord's table in a dishonorable manner. And so Paul wrote that because of that, because of their misconduct in disrespecting each other and disrespecting the Lord's table, that there were those in their midst who were weak, they were sickly, and they had died before their time. And so if there's a hindrance in our lives, it's not God. And if there's a hindrance in our lives, we could blame the devil. But if the devil has a place in our lives, we have given him a place. And so Paul says we need to examine ourselves. We need to judge ourselves. Verse 31, if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. So let there be no hindrances to our praying or prayers. Let there be no hindrances to our being led by the Spirit of God. Let there be nothing in our lives that grieves the Holy Spirit. Let nothing stand between us and God. Let nothing stand between us and the Holy Spirit of God moving in our midst. Judging ourselves, examining ourselves, making wrongs right, and dealing with hindrances is also a part of the context of James 5, verse 16. Pray one for another. James 5, 13. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. And that's not always the case, but sometimes it is. And you might say, well, how do I know? We know by the word. And we know by the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why we have to You know, that was the attitude of David, and David lived under the old covenant. David did not have the fullness of the Spirit of God. And yet, his prayer was, create in me a clean heart, O God. Let there be nothing in my life that stands between me and you. Let there be nothing in my life that displeases you. Let there be nothing in my life that is a hindrance to me receiving whatever it is I need, a healing or something else. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. In Christ, under the new covenant, Jesus Christ's righteousness is credited to us. But we also see from the New Testament we're to live as the righteousness of God in Christ. In the language of the Apostle John in 1 John, this requires that we walk in the light, that we confess any unconfessed sin. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Is there something between you and the Lord? Confess it. Repent of it. And biblical repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. And I didn't bring the references. You can look that up in Romans. There's a difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is, oops, I got caught. But there's no remorse. Biblical repentance is, God, I know that you are holy and you are righteous and this is wrong and it is displeasing to you. So I repent and I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to walk with Jesus Christ on the straight and narrow road. That is biblical repentance. Anything else is unacceptable to God. And so in our lives, we have to say, Lord, is there anything in my life that needs to be confessed? Confess it. Repent of it. Change. Move forward in faith. You might say, well, change is hard. You know, there's all this lameness in our culture. You know, and I understand we're a work in progress, but we ought to be making some progress. Amen. You know, and some people, they got the T-shirt, they got the bumper sticker. They've been a work in progress for 35 years, and there has been no progress. It's hard. It's difficult. That's why we have Almighty God on the inside of us. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't know if I can. Well, maybe that, but not this. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Is there a wrong situation you need to make right? Purpose in your heart to make it right? Do you need to ask someone's forgiveness? Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man, it is powerful and effective. Let there be no hindrances to our praying. Let there be no hindrances to our answers, to our victories, to the healings that belong to us. Let there be no hindrances to our being led by the Holy Spirit. Let there be nothing in our lives that grieves the Holy Spirit. Let nothing stand between us and God and the Holy Spirit of God moving in our midst. Let nothing stand between us. So deal with in your life anything that grieves the Spirit of God. And why is that so important? That we remove from our lives anything that would hinder us from praying with a pure heart and a clean conscience. It's so that we would have confidence when we pray. 1 John 3, beginning in verse 21, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us. And the reality is that the hearts of many believers condemn them because they have prayed a prayer, they've acknowledged Jesus, they say they love Jesus, but they do not live for Jesus, and Jesus is not Lord of their life. And so, they prayed a prayer, their mind, they're on their way to heaven, but there are all these areas of their lives in which Jesus is not Lord. They don't live for him. They don't walk with him. And there's all this fleshly stuff going on in their life. And so the reality is their heart condemns them. So this is why we've got to deal with every hindrance and get it out of our lives. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in them and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. See, the Spirit, as Paul says, bears witness with our spirit. And so if he's not talking to you, leading you, guiding you, directing you, convicting you, moving on your heart to pray for someone, moving on your heart to make a situation right, if the Holy Spirit is not heard in your life, there is a problem. And so you need to confess the sin that needs to be confessed. You need to deal with the hindrances that need to be dealt with. You need to go before God. You need to lay your heart before God and ask him for a clean heart and surrender the entirety of your life unto him. This is the kind of life that has power. This is the kind of life that gets results. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before him. 1 John 5, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. So part of our confidence is living a life that pleases God. Part of our confidence is getting out of our lives anything that would cause our hearts to condemn us when we pray. And somebody might say, well, Austin, I heard something online, or I saw a video online, and, you know, Paul says there's no condemnation in Christ, and that's true. But if you read that entire chapter in Romans, it's only true if you live by the Spirit of God. And you read Galatians, you find out it's only true if you live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so you got a lot of believers, and they're living in the flesh, they're living by the flesh, there's a lot of fleshly things going on in their lives, and you try and talk to them out, and they say, no, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, there's no condemnation. But that is only true if you live a life by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. And so I would challenge you to read Romans chapter 8, because that's what Paul points out, that is true if you live by the Spirit of God. And as an example, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. And that's when he says, verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We have to live the life. We have to walk with him. And praise God for Sunday morning. Praise God for Wednesday night. Praise God for a special week. We've got all these services, but we've got to live the life all the time, and not just when there is something special going on. Amen? Now, where are we headed this week? God wants to do big things in our midst. God wants to do big things in our midst. And Pastor said at the beginning of the year that God wants us to double. And you might say, that's impossible. Well, our Heavenly Father delights in doing the impossible. But there are some things that have to be dealt with. And today, anything that's a hindrance, anything that is displeasing to God, it has to be dealt with and it has to be removed out of the way. And beginning tomorrow and the rest of the week, we're going to see in Scripture that there are other things that are hindrances, like doubt and unbelief. And the Holy Spirit is always trying to help us to lift up our eyes and to believe God for his best. But we have to cooperate. Let's pray a moment before we conclude. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus by your Spirit, that you would make your word alive to each and every person that has set aside the time today, that is here in person or watching online. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for by your Spirit, your precious Holy Spirit, in everyone's heart, revealing the things that need to be dealt with, the things that need to be addressed, the things that need to be confessed of, repented of, changed, the situations that need to be right, made right, the forgiveness that needs to be asked. And I thank you that as we walk through these things, I thank you also for moving upon our hearts by your Spirit. The people that we need to pray for, the situations that we need to pray about, the people and the situations that we need to intercede for. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for making your word come alive to us. And I thank you for us all hearing the word that we need to hear this week, that we would walk in your perfect will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.